Blog Talk Radio.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's Big 12 Nation podcast. TCU, Baylor, what a heck of a game. What can I say? We're down to the last second. Both of those will be in some pretty good bowl games. It looks like Baylor is going to play Ole Miss this year. Not TCU, obviously. They're the people who are in charge of these bowl games. They always want to make the SEC look the best, not the Big 12. So they want to make sure that Ole Miss didn't have to play TCU again and get their butt whooped. But I still think Baylor will whoop them. Baylor will just whoop them in a different way by putting up a lot of points on them. Other than that, Oklahoma took care of business, and they beat up on Oklahoma State. And I'm really glad that they did that, because now the College Football Playoff Committee won't have any excuses with trying to get us out of the playoffs. So at this point, the standings are, I think we got everybody done except West Virginia, Kansas State, Baylor, and Texas. But the standings are right now 8-1 in conference. Oklahoma, they'll finish at 11-1. Oklahoma State, 7-2 in conference, they'll finish 10-2. TCU, same thing. Baylor's 9-2, 6-2. We'll see if they finish 10-2, and if they beat Texas, they should. West Virginia, 7-4, 4-4. They could finish 8-4 or 7-5. Good job by Dana Holgorsen, keeping them competitive in the league. Great bounce back job by Cliff Kingsbury for Texas Tech. He's 7-5, 4-5 in the conference. I know he was on the hot seat after last year, but 2 out of 3 years he's got the Red Raiders going to a bowl game, and, you know, solid. He's doing what he needs to do. He made the most. He had a very competitive game against Oklahoma State. They played phenomenally well at home. So good job, Cliff Kingsborough. 3-5, 4-7. Texas, Charlie Strong with the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde Texas team. Kansas State actually has a chance to be bowl eligible if they finish out and they beat these guys at home, West Virginia. So that would be the matchup this week. And I actually would rather that happen. I hope it doesn't affect Dana Holgorsen's job if they lose. But I'm rooting for Kansas State in this one, so that way the Big 12 has bowl eligible team. Another one, rather than them sending a 5-7 Big Ten team to a bowl game. Then we got Iowa State 2-7. As we know, the changes at Iowa State will be Matt Campbell taking over. So congrats to him. He did a great job at Toledo. I'm sure he'll bring some new fire and energy to Iowa State. Paul Rose is a solid dude. I like him. I guess Iowa State just didn't think he lived up to their expectations. He did a solid job there for a while, gave him a couple winning records, got him to a couple bowl games. So I don't have anything bad to say about Mr. Rose. I'm not going to trash him or bash him, but that's what Iowa State wanted. It's obviously what their boosters and alumni wanted. They want to change. They have their right to do that. So respect to them. Respect to Mr. Rose. Kansas at 0-9, and it looks like they finished 0-12. Tough going for Beattie. But, you know, when I talk about Kansas, everything that's happening to Kansas happened for a reason. The way they did Turner Gill, then they turned around and thought they were going to do better with Charlie Weiss. And then they turned around and get this. People at Kansas, you messed up getting rid of the big guy. Mangino, Mangini. Bottom line is you have to be consistent. You have to give a coach 4 or 5 years, especially when you're rebuilding. Mark Mangino had that program at new heights historically. And what they fired him over was something so petty, it just seemed like they had been waiting to fire him for a minute. So, you know, they got what they asked for. You know, that's what goes around comes around. You make bad mistakes in administration, you're going to pay for it. Turner Gill, you didn't even stick with him after 2 seasons. All his recruits were just starting to come in. And y'all fired him, and y'all put Charlie Weiss in there, who did just as bad. So next year, if Beattie only wins 1 or 2 games, y'all going to fire him? Like, at some point, Kansas, y'all got to learn how to keep the people you have there and be respectful and let them do it the way that they want to do it. And be patient, because you're rebuilding a program. You're not a Texas. You're not a Oklahoma. You're not a Oklahoma State. You know, you're not a Baylor or TCU. you don't have the resources that a lot of people have. You're basically what Baylor was before Art Briles got there, and it took him 4 or 5 years to get this whole thing turned around. It's going to take 4 or 5 years. So hire, fire is not going to work in Kansas because it's not an elite job. It's not a premier program, and it's known as a basketball school. I mean, it's the same problem that University of Kentucky has because basketball is always first, which is fine because at some schools, football is always first and basketball second, but they want basketball to be competitive. University of Texas, for example, they always want football to be great, but they want basketball to be competitive. So that's the story with Kansas. The only way y'all going to get it turned around there is be patient. And the only reason y'all are 0-9, 0-12 is because y'all keep hire, fire. It's not going to work. You'll be 0-12 for the next century if you keep this method going. Just, trust me, it's not going to work. Get a coach, believe in him, give him 4 or 5 years. That's the end of it. All this hire, fire is just going to be 0-12. And everybody in the league is just going to keep laughing at you because it doesn't work. You can only blame the coach for so much. The administration has to take some blame, too, just like with Les Miles. They're about to fire a guy who won 80% of his games. And to me, I'm shocked Les Miles kept the job. I would have left. This isn't good enough for you. I would have left. There's too many jobs open this year that he could get at the snap of a finger. Same thing with Mark Richt in Georgia. I would have left. If Kansas would have had that record that Mark Richt had or Les Miles had, I'm pretty sure they'd be happy because they're just the doormat, and nobody takes them serious in football. The last time they did was when you had Aqib Talib and your coach that had been there forever, and then you let him go. So, you know, it's I don't know. That's Kansas for you. That's Kansas football for you. It's just frustrating, and it's not going to be competitive. Now, the rumor that's going around the Big 12 right now is Sonny Cumbie wants to come to Texas. Also, North Texas is willing to give him the head coaching job. So if I'm Sonny Cumbie, I don't know. Am I taking the offensive coordinator job at Texas, which would pay more than North Texas, or am I taking the North Texas team that I'll probably have 4 years of breathing room because the guy before him at North Texas, he was pretty up and down. He would be 3-9 one year, then go to a bowl game the next year, then 2-7 one year, and then 3-9, then go to a bowl game. So who they had before him, McCartney, how you ever say his name, okay, but for the most part, they're up and down, inconsistent. So what do you have to say when it comes down to making that decision? Are you going to go to Texas? Because you're going to have pressure right away. Because this is about, if Charlie Strong doesn't leave them to go to Miami, which Miami hasn't filled their head coaching vacancy yet, so there still is a question mark there if he really is going to stay or is he going to go. But to be honest with you, what the heck type of decision will he make? Because he's got a lot of breathing room in North Texas, but Charlie Strong's got a lot of pressure at Texas, and he'll have a lot of pressure. And you know how coaches go. When stuff don't go right, the head coach will never step up and say, it's my fault. He'll say, let me fire the offensive coordinator. Let me fire the defensive coordinator. Quite frankly, is why I was very happy to see Jay Norvell kick Oklahoma's butt when he was a play caller versus them, when it was Texas versus Oklahoma, because it let everybody at Oklahoma know that Oklahoma just had a bad year. It wasn't Jay Norvell's fault. And that's why he kicked their butt. Because he knew their weaknesses, he knew their strategies, and he ran the ball right down their throat, and Texas upset people. And to me, the frustrating thing about Texas is they could have easily beat West Virginia. They could have easily beat Oklahoma State. They could have easily beat Texas Tech. They just do so much goofy, dumb stuff. Like, I don't know, it's like I guess it's like the classic team that just can't win. They can't find a way to win. They finally lose. Like they were down 10-3, then it was 10-10, then they were driving, and they were about to go up 17-10, and then the tight end has two arms on the ball, and he still finds a way to fumble the ball when he's got the first down. And like when you look at it, you sit there and think, how the heck did he fumble that ball? It was no way he could have fumbled it by the way he did it. It's just weird. Like, they can't tackle, they can't, it's just like, it's just a mess at Texas. They can't get it together. They can't get it together. They just can't go out there, beat the crap out of teams and be done. Like, that's what I like about what Oklahoma does, other than the fact of them losing to Texas and Jay Norvell getting his revenge on Bob Stoops for firing him. Other than that, Oklahoma goes out and they beat the crap out of people and they get them out the way. They don't play around. Texas Tech doesn't beat the crap out of people, But you know it's going to be a headache playing them because they're going to score 7 million points a game. So you know you're going to be in with them for four quarters. Like, Texas just can't do what they do well for no reason, and they can't do it consistently. It's so, like, inconsistent. Flip-flops, swoops, Jerron Hurt, this receiver, that receiver. Like, when I see some of their receivers, it's like none of them, some of them don't even get open. When I see their punt returners, their kick returners, some of them aren't even running to try and score a touchdown on punt on special teams. It's like they just kind of, like, out there. And it's like, it's just no, like, I don't know how to put it. It's just no, like, driving their back to be like, man, let's go out here and roast these people. We're University of Texas, so I don't know what Charlie Strong is going to do down there, but it's just like the, I don't know, it's the mentality of the kids, something in the water. It's just not like, when I watch them play, it's just not like that I'm no joke kind of feeling about them. It's just kind of like lackadaisical, like we out here just chilling, having a good time. No, we're not out here trying to, like, win football games and win them in, like, a dominating fashion. Like, even when you saw Baylor TCU, obviously in the rain, mess it up. But you've seen both of those teams are very competitive, and they do what they do, and it's competitive and it's fun. Texas, 1 minute to be, even the games when they've blown people out, they still turned the ball over, fumbled here. Like, just easy third down plays. It's just little goofy stuff. It's like, man, a good team just completes that, and they make it simple. They complete the third and three. They stop people on third and ten. Like, the little goofy stuff just doesn't happen with winning teams. And it's just a lot of weird, goofy stuff that happens with Texas. And they don't find a way to win. They find a way to lose in the weirdest ways when they could easily win. Like every game, a bunch of the games they lost this year, you'd be like, man, y'all could have easily won that game. Y'all just do some of the goofiest, weirdest stuff at the weirdest times. Like something that's just like go down and step out of bounds. They'll fuck with the ball and kick it 20 yards into the end zone. That's the way the other team, all they got to do is fall on it. Like they just do weird, like, stuff that just is like, okay, I don't get it. So he's got to get the mentality of that team is no procrastination, no BS. I'm here to shut you out on defense. I'm here to play good on offense mentality. The stupidity and the silliness has to stop at the University of Texas, or Strong's going to be out there and they're going to start over again, unless they've already done something behind the doors and they sold the public something different and Nick Saban's coming to Texas and Charlie Strong's going to Miami. We'll see. We'll see at the end of this week. Other than that, I don't see any coaching changes happening in the Big 12. I don't think Coach Snyder is going to retire yet. I think he's going to do at least two more seasons. Everybody's job is safe, I think. Bob Stoops, of course. Mike Gundy, of course. Patterson at TCU, of course. Browse, of course, at Baylor. Hogerson's done enough to be safe for now. West Virginia. Texas Tech coach done a good job this year. Charlie Strong will be on the hot seat going into next year if he doesn't win. If he doesn't start off 3-1, 4-0, he'll probably get fired midway through the season next year. Kansas State, I already talked about them. Iowa State, obviously replaced with Matt Campbell. Good luck, Matt Campbell. And then David Bay just got to Kansas. Hopefully the Kansas administration gives the man 4 or 5 years. If they don't give him 4 or 5 years and they fire him next year, then Kansas is just going to be a doormat for another decade again, and it's just going to be a joke. So hopefully they do that. Can't wait for these college football rankings to come out tonight. Hopefully Oklahoma stays put. If not, as long as they're in the top four, I think the Sooners can win the national title, being what they did to Alabama. The last time they played them, last time Oklahoma played Alabama, they literally destroyed them. So I feel like this is one of those Bob Stoops coach teams that has a chip on his shoulder because last year they weren't so great. And Alabama better watch out because if they meet them, they have had problems with them in the past. They will be in trouble. And to me, the Big 12 conference is the best, most competitive conference. I'm sorry. SEC is overrated. And I hate when people sit there and try to argue with you and say that the SEC is the best conference. The best conference is the teams that win. Last year, the SEC got destroyed in bowl games. They didn't win the national title. So it can't be the best conference. I don't do best conferences based on opinion. I do it based on wins. I do it based on results. So last year, based on the wins and the results, the best conference was the Big Ten. The second best conference was the Big 12 based on the bowl game performances. TCU destroyed Ole Miss. Baylor lost to Michigan State, so therefore that was why I put our conference behind the Big Ten last year. But regardless of either one of those arguments, the SEC is not the best conference in football. The best conference is the conference that wins the national title and performs well in bowl games, not the conference that ESPN hypes up, not the conference that all these commentators hype up, not all the callers on the Paul Feinbaum show who listen to whatever some columnist at ESPN or some other place writes about. That's not how I grade the best conference. I grade the best conference based on wins, losses, how you performed in the postseason, period. If we're going to say that the SEC is the best conference, no matter what the results are on the field, then we might as well not play the football games. We might as well just, at the end of the season, whoever wins the SEC, let's give them the national title, and that's it, and everybody else just go home and don't play football. But that's how you grade conference championships. That's how you grade national championships. That's how you grade the best conference on results on the field. All these coaches that are getting fired because of results on the field. They're mad they didn't. With Mark Richt, they're mad he didn't win any national titles. He didn't win any SEC championship games. With Les Miles, they're mad because he keeps losing to Saban. So you're grading on wins and losses. Same thing with national championships. Same thing with bowl games. That's the podcast. I'll do a quick podcast probably tomorrow talking about the rankings, giving my top 25 rankings. And that's all. Until Oklahoma can pull us out, everybody in Big 12 Nation have a good weekend. And I can't wait till the bowl games and the college football playoffs get started. Take care. Have a good one.